delighted to have you in the podcast where all stories are welcome and the masks come off. Hi, Priya.
Hey, Siva.
So lovely to see you, and thank you so much for agreeing to have a Soul Brew with me. Welcome to Coffee and Soul.
It's good to be here. It's good to catch you on this platform.
Yeah, and it's lovely to see you here. You're the one who does all the interviewing, and now it'll be lovely to hear your perspective from as you know, Priya. So I'm looking forward to that, to this conversation. So have you got your cup of coffee ready with you?
Yes, I do, Shiva. Here it is.
Okay, so let me pour me myself mine. Yeah, it's, I think all the soul brews have the sound of coffee being poured, which is...
You know, you can always smell it. Of course, I have the cup in my hand, but just visually makes you... Yeah. That's a nice visual.
Welcome to Soul Brews with Shiva, and it's such a joy.
Thank you. Bring to a lovely conversation.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Cheers. In fact, it's very different for me to be on the other side, you know.
Exactly.
Usually
exactly.
I'm in your place.
Yes, exactly. And I'm so happy that we get to hear your perspective, your thoughts, right? As who you are. So Priya, can I ask you to just hold this cup of coffee in your hands? I hope it's not too hot. And can you just sit back and just relax?
Okay.
And just close your eyes and relax and let the smells waft and have a sip. Yeah, sure.
That is the most important thing.
Correct. See if there's anything that comes up for you, any kind of a visual or a feeling or what this brings out, does this, the aromas of coffee.
You know, in COVID days, it brings out a nice, relaxed conversation with some friends and a gossip, a midnight conversation, really. Because we always end our dinners with a nice cup of coffee.
Yeah, yeah. And so these are conversations over Zoom and stuff like that? And
no, not pre-COVID days. I'm missing
pre-COVID
that.
Pre-COVID days, yes.
Pre-COVID days, yeah. Now, yeah. And of course, edit meetings, since I'm a journalist.
Yes, so. I know. Yeah, it's happy times, isn't it? It's a different and happy times, I guess, no?
In a way, yes. It's unusual times, Shiva.
I mean, when you think back, I mean, the pre-COVID times, and you think of the coffee.
Oh, very like, happy times. Coffee, there's something about coffee that's got a very positive feel, I have to say
that. Yeah.
I've not seen a stress coffee, you know. It's always something for some reason.
That's a very interesting way of putting it, Priya, that stress and coffee really don't kind of go together.
Some reason. It's interesting because usually you need coffee to wake up, to perk up. But I don't know. I need coffee to relax also. For me, it's in the relaxed mode.
In the relaxed mode. All right, great. So Priya, tell me a little bit. I mean, as we just spoke about it, you're always on the other end, right? You are the one who's talking to people. You're interviewing and you are setting up conversations and doing a marvelous job at that. I listen to a lot of what you do. But a little bit about you, your life, your journey. What's got you to where you are today? Some of your highs and lows. If you can just take us through that.
Asking a journalist to talk, Shiva, you're really inviting trouble. But anyway, let me take the opportunity and grab it rather. But honestly, you know, for me, journalism was a very happy accident. It wasn't something that I had planned at all. I had, I'd done my English honors from St. Stephen's. Mm. Before that, I was at Wellams. And, you know, I've always been a very laid-back sort of person. If you really ask me the name, the president, of course, I would. That's an exaggeration. But, you know, if you say which political party is the prime minister from or the name the past five presidents, I would be really, I'm not joking, I would be pretty... you know, it was not my area of interest at all. So I had decided that I wanted to go and teach and not teach so much, but study. I wanted to study more academics with my field. And I applied for Oxford's also. You know, there was a Radhakrishnan scholarship. So I'd got admission at Oxford.
This is while you were at Stephen's? Is that what you did?
This is after my third year.
After your third year. Okay.
After my third year. So I'd applied. And in fact, not to study English, interestingly, to study Latin, because someone told me those are the courses that are open.
That's amazing.
Easier to get in. And once you're inside, you can switch. Otherwise, everybody does PPE. I said, chalo, I did Latin and I got the admission. But then you have to apply for a scholarship post your admission. And in the scholarship, it's very interesting. As I said, you know, I was at Wellams and our brother's school is the Dune. So one of the guys on the panel was an ex-DOSCO.
Okay.
And whoever was, you know, we were in the waiting room at India International Center, and whoever was going in and coming out was saying, you know, this guy is really cantankerous, and he's very, you know, not cantankerous, but he's asking too many questions. Mm-hmm. And he's the one to watch out for. So when, and he's wearing a yellow t-shirt. Fine. So I went in. Sure enough, there was this guy wearing a yellow t-shirt and asking a lot of questions. So I got really irritated. And, you know, I think I'd blown the interview anyway, but I got a bit hostile. And, you know, it's the wrong thing to do in an interview, especially when you want something. So I blew the interview. Mm. But very sweetly and interestingly, that guy called me. Mm. He found my this thing, and I got a, I think those days there was no mobile phone. This is what, 1991, 19. Mm. So I don't know how we got in touch, but he got in touch with me and he says, look, I'm sorry. I felt really bad. Is it because of me that your interview went? Because he and I then exchanged a few very acerbic words.
Right.
So he said, maybe because of that, and come and see me and meet me. And he's a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So I met him and he said, can I help you with your career? You must apply again next year. What will you do in this year? So I said, I'll do my MA in English because it's part of the course. That's not a problem. So he says, fine, but what are you going to do? He said, in the meanwhile, you know, you can work also, because MA is, as we all know, it's something that we just do. We don't really. Yeah, so I was anyway, sorry, I think that it was after my first year, because I was already in MA and I was working as a copywriter. That's right.
Okay. All right.
And I was hating my job. So I was really hating my job.
Mm.
So he said, why don't you become a journalist? You know, why don't you apply this Sunday magazine, that's in magazine from Calcutta.
Mm.
So he's saying, Veer Sanghvi is there, and he's from, I think, Oxford also and whatever. So you go apply there. So I found out the address. I went to the Delhi office with my application. And Veer Sanghvi doesn't sit there, but the local bureau chief, every, you know, in a magazine, the head offices can be in Calcutta, Chennai, wherever, but the, there's a bureau in Delhi, obviously, correct, since the capital.
Right.
So the bureau chief took me and he said, I'll take you as an intern for 1 year. And that's how it began. So when my 1 year finished, I did not even apply again because I was loving my job. You know, it was amazing. I definitely did not want to go back to academics or Latin.
So coming in here, what is it that you love about what you do?
Shiva, it's an amazing field. It's, you actually paid to gossip. You're paid to have conversations like this. You're paid to get to know people and to, you know, sit and have long conversations. Currently, you know, I am in television, but I began as a print journalist and I don't like this 24/7, very hectic. All my life, I've worked in magazines. So I had a weekly deadline. I don't do daily 24/7 reporting. Even in television, I have a weekly show. I don't like that, you know, this breaking news. I don't like what I like is explanatory journalism. You know, you get to the problem, explain it, how it happened, the behind the scenes color, if need be, get to know people, have long chats with people and touch with politicians and everybody. These days, I'm doing a lot of reporting on COVID and doctors. People are happy to chat with you, to a journalist, and, you know, they do make time for you. And it's really interesting. You meet all kinds of people. And like I said, it's part of your job.
Yes, I think it's amazing. And obviously, it's something you took to like fish to water, right? And so transitioning to television, how did that happen?
Television was, first, let me tell you how I began doing politics. I used to cover crime, Shiba, because, you know, when you begin as a trainee journalist, everybody's given the crime beat, because that's the...
Okay.
That's how you begin.
How was that?
It was interesting. I interviewed Charles Sobhraj. In fact, I had, I've got some letters from him. And in fact, we were in touch. I went to Nepal also and couldn't meet him, but I met all his people around him and all the stakeholders.
Wow.
So, but from crime, it went to politics because it's, you know, there is a, the Hawala scam happened and all these guys were implicated. Kamal Nath, Madhura Sindhya, Advani. Kamal Nath was actually my first political contact because through the Hawala thing, one was chatting with him. Okay. And then I went into politics. So that's how I...
So while you were covering crime and it was like the politics and crime duo kind of coalesced, and then you went into politics. And since that move into politics, what, how do you, you know, when you talk about your younger days and you're saying, you know, this was totally something that you would not do. I mean, you would be so laid back. And now you're so active in political journalism, you know, and hold some very, very interesting roundtables, right? On NewsX, I think that's the program that you run. What has kept you there in the political space and why are you here?
I think I'll take a sip of coffee before I answer that question. You know, again, in politics, Shiva, you begin as a beat reporter. You know, what happens is you are sent to the party offices. So every day you are spending, you're literally, you know, you go to office for a meeting at 12 o'clock or 11:30, and then you're given a story or whatever, and then you're out on the beat. And every day in the old days, before all this social media and all, the way the people used to communicate, every party office used to have a briefing BJP had it at 3:30, Congress used to have it at 4:30, and so on. So we used to go from party office to party office, hang out there and meet all the leaders, you know. We could actually go into their rooms. I used to be in the field till 7, 8 in the evening, you know, go chat with them. After the briefing is over, you go to a Digvijay Singh's room or a Margaret Alva, Ambika Soni. Some were nice, some were grumpy. Ditto for BJP. That time it was Arun Jaitley, Pramod Mahajan, Sushma Swaraj. They were all there, the party officers hanging, you know, in their rooms. And they would meet us and we used to have these long tea sessions and, you know, gossip, tea, conversation, blah, especially for me because I never had a daily deadline. So you could elongate it. So I have known these guys more than I met my own friends. I was meeting the politicians. So you kind of got involved in the whole ecosystem.
Correct.
And then it's interesting to see, you know, events that you talked about the night before come true the next day. You started predicting. It gave you a big high also, I have to say.
Especially
when you get that scoop and you preempt a news or you predict a news. You're the first one with an interview. Those are the good ones.
Absolutely. And it must be such a high to be able to do this and also staying with great journalism. You know, what I remember one of my the people that I have interviewed earlier, Neerja Chowdhury.
She's brilliant. She's someone I really admire and respect.
She's also related to us. But she'd spoken so highly of you, saying that she really enjoys talking to you. So obviously you're doing something that makes people want to be able to spend that. And I suppose it's that easy manner you have, which is so non-incriminating in the way that you speak. And that's something that I like and I get really inspired by, is to see the way that you are speaking with people. There is something, you're not in the way at all, which is a real skill, Priya.
No, you know, this is a reaction, maybe an unconscious, subconscious reaction to what the Arnab Goswami kind of journalism, which is in your face. A lot of anchors do it, not just Arnab, but everybody, they interrupt you before you stop finishing. And I get impatient also saying, you know, the reason why we call a leader or a specialist or an expert is to hear their view, not to hear your own voice. So I'm very clear on that. And in terms of, see, you form the equations because literally, you know, for instance, Rahul Gandhi's class of 2004, that's when all these Milind Deora, Sachin Pilot, all the young Tin Prasad, all of them came along with Rahul Gandhi. So I've been watching them literally grow in their political career. You knew their father. So there is some kind of a connect also. And so that gives you an easy equation with them. And yet, you know, in terms of my shows, discussions, usually what happens is they're face to face. The show that I do, Roundtable, is actually offline, which is we don't go live on air. We don't shoot in a studio with OB vans. You know, the system of overhead broadcast vans is still, people are shouting to make themselves heard. They are sitting at home. They are shouting to someone in the studio, even though mic theek hota hai, but they think that we must shout to make ourselves be heard. So even a Samvit Patra is very decent on my shows. You know, he's on, we do Roundtable where it's difficult to shout at the person sitting next to you. You can't really shout. That's one reason. And second is, I don't know, I think the whole tone of the show is more conversational, and everybody, I tell them, you will get to have your say and, you know, don't have to interrupt the other one. And I make sure that everybody does get to have their say. And we also round up our round tables with a cup of coffee post the round table, Shiva. And those are actually, I wish I could record those.
Yeah.
But that is when the asli khabar and the asli gossip and all happens. So a lot of people say that, you know, we actually come for your post sessions than the show themselves.
But unfortunately, those get off the record, isn't it? Totally. Yeah. No, I can get a sense of how it is for you. Priya, if I was to ask you, in all this you've done in your journey thus far, what have been some of your defining moments?
Well, in terms of journalism, and I mean, I
not necessarily work, but as a human being, as a person going through life.
Well, that's been a lot. Professionally, let me, since I'm safe on those areas, I've came out with a book on young politicians. So for me, defining moment A is my writing. You know, I really, maybe I'm too, I look to my professional life for markers. But that's been something that gave me my biggest high. I think 2 years ago, I remember going to the during the election campaign in 2019. I went to the Gurdwara in Amritsar. I was following Captain Amrinder and then I was in Amritsar. So I went there and I told God, I've got everything. Thank you. You know, I just want to say thank you. I had just, a book had come out, there was a very successful launch. I was okay, doing well in my career, I was happy at home. You know, I am in a relationship with someone who I'm very happy with. Mm-hmm. Family's okay. And Shiva, 2 months later, it all came crashing down. So I don't know whether we should say thank you to God or not. You know, that's my one defining moment is, that was not saying, that was not a dare or a challenge. It was a genuine thank you. But somewhere it's been misunderstood. And I have a bone
to pick on that one.
I do. I mean, in fact, I was, and moments like this, you know, touch wood, or things are stabilizing now, but it was a pretty hectic 2 years. My mother fell down. She had a hip replacement. And after that, there's been a lot of complications with her. So that's basically been something that's, and that had a boomerang effect on everything, because if something is not home in your personal, well, in your personal life, it's difficult, you know. Though, touch wood, you know, professionally things are okay, but there's a lot I could have done more, which I'm not doing. I could have traveled more. I could have, in terms of show also, I could have, say, taken a daily show. A lot of people are saying, for instance, with Barkha Dutt leaving television, Nidhi Razan, you know, those are the kind of shows that I would also do. I guess we get similar guests. We have a similar easy conversational style. So there is a slot that is open in terms of, you need an anchor who is, fairly senior, but who can also get good guests and have a, who's not very right-wing. Sorry, let me also add that, because there are a lot of anchors. I am not very right-wing at all. If, you know, I'm pretty, I would not even left of center, maybe slightly right, but it's, you know, I think I'm very balanced, even I'm saying it myself. So there is space for that kind of a voice, but that would mean a commitment from my side. Every evening I would have to do something. And I know right now I can't do that, because of, you know, mind space nahi hai. Even my poor mother, you know, she won't, I can't blame it on her, but the mind space is not there. So that's one defining, not defining, but that's a redefining moment for me, I would say.
Oh, I understand. So what did you pull out of yourself to deal with this? Because you are incredibly talented. And you, as you said, there is tremendous amount of stuff that you can actually do in this space. And having to step back and make some priorities and some choices. What did you pull out of yourself in order to help you do that? What was...
I'm discovering patience. I was never a patient person. I'm discovering that, you know, you may want things to happen in a certain manner, but they're not in your hands. And so that's a big one that I'm trying to learn. I don't think I've learned it. But is and circumstances, there's some things that cannot, you know, in terms of just being very, I don't like to sit on things, but some things you cannot hurry. So I think that's the one, trying not to be as impatient as I was earlier. And have, and it's also, Shiva made me very aware of others and more understanding. I was also, you know, if someone didn't do something or someone fell short of a promise, I used to, whether professional or personal, I used to take it, you know, I didn't have much respect for that person. Mm. But now it's like, you know, you walk in their shoes. So I guess that's also made you realize that there must be a reason why the person has not fulfilled something. So you just notch it down a bit, turn around the notch a bit.
So how do you think that's coming across in the shows that you're doing? Do you find that that has also changed in your own style with the way you deal with things or deal with people or questions? Or is there an impact that's running across? Like, is that, do you see that?
Ask me that question. I really have to think about that, Shiva. I don't know. But see, in terms of my profession, like I was saying, I was never the one who wanted to break news or to goad a person to get a scoop out of them. You know, browbeat, nahi, but you didn't say no, but you haven't said yes. Does this mean that you did it? I don't do that kind of questionnaire.
No.
I don't do doorstep journalism. You know, even accused in a scam or something, I would not be sitting outside the door and troubling them. Unless it's Vijay Mallya or some crooked businessman who's very crooked. I think he deserves all. But you know, there are a lot of gray areas, even in the cases against politicians. There's a lot of vendetta. There's a lot of... So, especially now that's happening, you know, you're putting kids in jail, you know. So, I would not say, oh, so-and-so is an accused just because he comes from a certain ideology, or even if there's a charge sheet against them. So, I've never done that. So, I don't think I would. And in terms of my shows and all, we've always had a fairly conversational tone. We've never had a confrontational tone. I've never been confrontationist.
Yes.
So, that has not changed, I would say.
And that's probably stood you in very good stead, isn't it?
I would like to think so. I don't know.
I would say so. I would say so, because I think it's built a reputation. It's built a respect. And I think those are big, big things in the long run. So what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, Priya, is that even the way that you approach this, and you say that you've been impatient or whatever, but your approach is largely long-term, you know, and it's about creating this whole, what's the word for it? Milieu, almost like creating a milieu. As I see it, I don't know how you feel about that. Like creating a milieu, you know, and instead of rushing through stuff, it's really about creating an atmosphere, creating a different way, conversing and staying with that. And I see that. And I think that has a huge place in today's system.
Hope so, yeah. Because I think here, even in the world, I think we are so quick to rush to judgment. You know, that's so to hear the other side or to hear the part of the argument is needed. Now that you said it, I've in a lot of debates, I do still get impatient with people I see on the, you know, sometimes I'm not the anchor, sometimes I go as a panelist. So I'm taking on another person. And, you know, they're blatantly voicing something like they're saying that, there was no oxygen shortage, or they're going to be saying something which you know is not true. Yeah. That gets me really angry and goads me. So I'm still quick to lose my shirt on that one. But I get impatient if I see injustice to anyone, anything, you know, even in the market, if you see someone being cheated out of some money, or if you see somebody who's not being fair to, especially someone who can't, I mean, I'm not saying it sounds good, but you know, people who can't fight back, then that really gets me going. Mm. I don't know, but I guess that works for everybody.
No, not really. Tell me, what else?
You know, you made me realize how much I define myself by my profession. Every time you say what else, I think of work.
No, I'm not asking you to focus on.
I know you're not, but that's how I'm trained to think.
Yeah. And in terms of work, when you're talking about different perspectives and being able, was this always the case, being able to be non-judgmental? But you said that shifted and changed for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I did. So, and it's interesting because, you know, there is a debate going on even in our profession, you know, should one hear both sides, you know, this whole both-siderism, which is usually on the one hand and on the other hand, but the reader comes away with not knowing what is the correct answer. What are you thinking? The other argument is, no, the reader is smart enough to make up his mind and doesn't want an opinion. You know, so I had M.G. Akbar as my editor, I remember. And if I used to put any headline that came, is Rahul ready? ? He's like, what is this? He's saying, either you say Rahul is ready or Rahul is not ready. He said, I'm not here to answer. The reader he wants a definite answer. Yeah. So he should allow no ? headline. So now I've started to, you know, no ? Decide one way or the other. And I am... by nature, I don't take decisions fast, Shiba. I'm not a person who takes decisions fast at all. I really am wondering, who am I not being fair to? What have I forgotten? What have I left out? What am I not seeing? I don't procrastinate. I like to get things, if it's on my to-do list, it has to be done, and sooner today than later. But I feel very hesitant about taking a decision. I think there is that insecurity, is mine the right decision, underconfidence, or whatever you want to call it. That is still very much with me. Even though it's crazy, because today, as I was talking, I am responsible not just for myself, but for my mother. I have to decide, is this good for her? Is this bad for her? Because she is now not in a position to take a decision, which is so scary, because I am someone who never used to take a decision about my own life. And now I have to actually be responsible for somebody else's life. Mm. So that's really scary. And maybe that's part of growing up or whatever. Maybe that's changed me also. But I still take a long time to decide, I have to tell you.
Yeah, and you reflected on the fact that it could be underconfidence. I'm not seeing it as that. I'm just seeing it. Sometimes ambiguity brings out tentativeness, and that's all right. You can't go like a bull in a china shop when you're dealing with people, right? So, and I'm hearing you say that, and I think that is powerful. That is powerful stuff. Is there a metaphor for life that you have, that you live by, something that you fall back on? Chips are down, or when you know.
Not really. This too shall pass is really, you know, or as someone recently taught me, there are good days and there are bad days. So I'm really going with that one day at a time is really how it's happening, and not each day is going to be a good one. Mm. So, and hopefully nothing is permanent, you know, that's
yes.
In terms of the bad news. I hope the good news is permanent. But
yeah. Are there things you feel you could have done differently, Priya? Some of the things you reflected on, yeah. But apart from that, is there anything you feel?
Again, Shiva, it's coming back to the profession. But maybe I should have. I did try. That didn't really go down well with me. Personally, I don't know, because my biggest regret and my biggest thing would be maybe my mother. Did I leave her alone? Did I not give her what she wanted, which is, she led to the kind of point that she is now. Otherwise, like 2 years ago, same thing stands, Shiva. No regrets, really. I was very happy with the way my life has turned out, except for what happened after that.
Yeah. And when I was talking about done differently, it doesn't mean that I'm asking you to explore regrets. It's basically just looking at, you know, if I had shifted my whatever, it could have been in this manner. So it's not about regrets. I'm not asking you from that perspective. Some of the gifts you received that shaped who you are, what do you think those are? And some of the key influences in your life and professionally, work-wise as well.
No, I think it began with our school teacher who really, Mrs. Sekri in Wellens, actually, you know, one wrote, but she actually always singled me out for what I wrote, my essays, and she encouraged me so much that I always wanted to do. I knew there was some, writing was very much my passion. Or I thought, you know, she led me to believe in myself that I could do it well.
Wow.
So definitely her. And which is why I took copywriting, because I thought maybe that's the profession for me. Her, my mother, another one who encouraged my writing. And professionally, I think I would say in Sunday magazine, Veer Sanghvi, who was my first boss. Mm. Because as I was saying, when I joined for that 1 year as an intern, after 1 year, the guy was ready to let me go. He was like the bureau chief. He was a South Indian gentleman, N.V. Subramaniam. He said, now you are done. And I actually went and applied for another job at Asian Age. And which I knew I would hate, because it was a daily, and it really, I would be covering the MCD or some stupid beat like that. But fortunately, I met Veer, and he was like, no, you stay back. We have no problems with you. It's only this. He overruled the bureau chief, made me stay on. And then it just, that Sunday magazine was the most brilliant place to work in.
Sure.
So that is why I went to politics. I had brilliant people to work with, you know, Aditi Fadnes. She became the bureau chief later and always a mentor. So a whole lot of people who helped me. They were so kind. That whole, I think I was there for 7 years, Shiva. It was the home away from home. I never came home till 10. I never used to take my leave. Aditi used to scream at me, take your holidays, go home. But that was a world for me that I really grew in and grew up in, and I loved it. So that those 7-8 years from 91 to 98 defined me, I think.
Amazing. And do you find ways to create the same kind of a atmosphere for people who are now coming in to work with you, perhaps? And is that something that you kind of mindful of?
Yes and no. They had an incredible amount of patience. But one thing I learned is, do not, you know, there's always, you can always help someone. There's no, you know, usually journalists and all are very worried about their sources. They don't want to introduce you to their contacts. But I saw on Sunday, it wasn't like that. We're like one big family. But I have to say, not everybody's as nice as me also. So I've had people who were younger than me who were there just to, you know, you encourage them with half an inch, they give you a mile, and they try to throw you out. They were bitching about me to my sources. So, you know, it's a very funny world, which I realized that the world outside Sunday was not the perfect world at all. Or maybe Sunday was not a vision of the real world. So I had kids younger than me trying to, you know, get my job and be slimy. And it's a very toxic world. It's pretty toxic.
Mm.
Any profession is, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not going to be nice to everybody now.
Sure. So, and how do you deal with this? How do you deal with the toxicity? What do you, you know, you have both sides, right? You have both sides, and you also have some brilliant people and circumstances and conversations and life-affirming stuff and all. So how do you keep the balance, Priya?
I think it's really important to have some friends that you can sit and chat with. That's you know, just to unload and to just you know, whether it's an heartbreak, whether it's a professional, and also I've realized that it's no use what you cried over for 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. It's you don't even remember it.
Correct.
So
correct.
Try not to get upset about the little things. It's, you know, oh, meri story nahi gayi, or mera so and so, the crush didn't work out, or whatever. It's so passe now, you know, you don't even think of it, you don't even. Yeah. Or even, I don't know, most things, I think life is very fleeting. That's really what I realized. Just live in the moment, because you're not even going to remember what got you so upset or what got you so happy next week, maybe. So
I just really want to underline that. So life is very fleeting, and just live in the moment. And that seems to pretty much define what you live by right now. Am I correct in that understanding, Priya?
Trying to live by, Shiva. I don't think I managed it. But that's what I keep telling myself. This too shall pass. This is not permanent. That's the lesson I'm trying to learn. Everything is fleeting, even the good. That's the sad part of it.
That's true. In terms of if there's someone starting out right now, or younger Priya, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or someone just about to start on that, what is it that you would tell them with so many years in the field and what you've been doing? And what's the kind of input you would give them, advice or input you would give them? And keep yourself as someone like you, say, who's just starting out, stars in her eyes, really wants to go and get everything. And what will you tell her?
Have more faith and confidence in yourself. You know, I think we, during this course, we've kind of, pinpointed how I get underconfident or, you know, but I realized that when I was starting out, if I had just a little more faith and more confidence, I could have done a whole lot more. I was always looking for someone's approval, professionally, personally, everything. So that's something I think you just need to know, that, you know, have that faith in yourself. Don't hold yourself back in terms of whatever, whether it's your story, your sources, believe in them, or whether it's you yourself as a person. You know, I went through all my life thinking I was fat, and now I'm looking at those pictures and saying, hey, I was so thin. You know, this whole self-worth, I think one needs to, I needed to, and I think a lot of kids, you know, there are two kinds. One are those brash, overconfident, who think they just know it all, and they are too good, this toxic variety, and they should be actually the boss and not me. And the other is, are kids who I feel I can see a younger Priya. I can see the whole few of them out there, you know, I've seen already. And I keep telling them, have faith in yourself, push yourself forward. You know, if you think that you can, you deserve to be an anchor. If you don't fight for it, nobody's going to fight for it for you. You know, nobody's going to say, oh, isne itna kaam kiya tha, let me give her that praise. Or, you know, if you're self-effacing, then you will merge with the background. Nobody is going to really come and notice that you worked 20 hours or 24 hours, or you haven't got a raise or whatever you want, just ask for it and get it. You know, make the first step. Maximum you'll get a no, but at least put your thing. Jo rota hua bacche ko doodh milta hai, you know, and this is also in relationships. It's not just, I've seen in relationships also, you know, you want to make the other person happy. So I don't do confrontations in my personal life also, Shiva, which I think is a big problem, because there are some issues that need to be put on the table. You know, you just say, okay, it'll spoil the moment. The moment is very good. If I bring out that awkward thing, then there's never a right time for that conversation, but you have to have it. Otherwise, it just eats you up inside you. You get all health problems. You get, how many times can your friends listen to you to hear the same story again? You know, the same pattern is being repeated because you have not had the gumption or the thing to address it or to take it up with the person concerned. So I think that's something I'm learning to do also. That will be my advice to the person, that don't put yourself in the background personally or professionally. You do come first. You know, there are ways of doing it without being in your face, because there has to be self-worth. Whether even if you're looking after a person, if you don't look after yourself, then, you know, and I've realized at the end of the day, for our old age, we all, you know, midlife, so it's not that far away. If you're not self, this thing, you know, however much the person has done for you, however much you owe them, you will grudge them that time you have to take out of your own life to spend with taking care of them. So make sure you're not that person. Make sure that you are self-sufficient, and which means be healthy, be financially sound, be, you know, mentally sound, be healthy, be at least do what you can. Rest is in God's hands, but be self-sufficient.
Yeah, that's a very strong message, and I'm sure many people are going to benefit from it and to understand and to look at it from somebody who's reached where you are right now. And thank you so much for sharing that and making it so real, Priya, making it so real. You know, I believe each one of us has a unique gift that we offer. Nobody else has that combination of whatever you do yourself. What is your gift to people?
Wow, I don't know. I guess just that I'm there for anybody who wants to talk. I'm there to listen. I don't know.
You think that's ways, a small gift? That is amazing. Say that again, please. I'd like to hear that.
No, I just said I'm there. If anyone has if they want to talk about something, I'm there to listen. At least that's one thing I've learned, that everybody wants someone to listen. I do.
Yeah. And I suppose that is something that you do, that you give the person an ear without judgment. Is that something that you would?
Yeah, that's a very important point, Shiva, that you said. Someone who can listen without judgment. I can't always do that. I try to. But yeah, I think that's really the whole package. It has to be like that.
And that's what you bring. Well, you say that you do. Okay, fine. But I think many people would think otherwise. And from whatever I've heard, the way that you hold these conversations, I don't see much judgment at all. So, and I think that's what's the key to this, the success of whatever you do. So that's fine.
Thank you. I don't know. I'll see where that goes, but yeah, maybe.
Great. Is there anything else you'd like to say on this, on our little chat before we close out?
No, as I said, just be happy with the today. Try and make the most of your today. And not just for others. You know, everybody tells you do something for others, but do something for yourself. You know, what have you done for yourself today? It can be just taking a break or just pamper yourself. I think that's something I would tell everybody. Yeah. So that's what we forget to do when we are doing this rat race, literally. So as someone sent me a postcard, you know, life's a, you may come first in the rat race, but you're still a rat. So try not to be a rat.
That's absolutely right.
Be the cat who sits and has a hot cup of milk. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's been wonderful talking to you, Priya, and I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation.
Bye, Shiva. Thank you. A lot of surprising. I mean, you made me talk and learn a lot about myself also. So thanks. Okay. You have an art of making people talk.
Thank you so much. And I wish you every success. And I do believe the space that you're talking about exists. And if not now, sometime very near in the future, I hope you find your niche there. Because you will bring so much to the world of conversation, to the world of journalism through what you could do in terms of those chat shows that you were talking about, the conversations that you were reflecting on. It's a matter of time. I'm sure a format is going to find its way to you.
Thank you for this conversation.
It's been a pleasure. Take care of yourself. And thank you so much for being on Coffee and Soul. Thank you for your time and attention. And for being a part of Soul Brews with Shiva. Until next week, keep the coffee swirling.